Let's get to it. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Thank you for joining us. I am Rob Brown. Lonzo back in the network studio in charge of button switches, applicable levers, etc., etc. Rolling the show for us today. 844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776. As we watch the NBA place new protocols into play for this this coronavirus. You know, we talked earlier this week, Lonzo, about the fact that I don't know about you, but I have some level of just universal gratitude that we have gotten the sports that we have gotten. But watching these NBA new protocols being put into place by the NBA is a little bit concerning that we've hit back to this level, right? George Hill plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And after the announcement of stricter health and safety protocols, George Hill pushed back. He said, quote, "We want to play the game, but I don't understand some of the rules. We can sweat 48 minutes with a guy next to us for 48 minutes, but we can't talk to them afterwards. It makes no sense. I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing, but it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game," end quote. And this is where it gets interesting, though, because I understand the frustration, right? I get the frustration, especially when it comes to some of the rules about contact on the floor itself. No, it doesn't really make a ton of sense that guys can play against each other for that full 48, but then can't shake hands at the middle of the line. Now, statistically speaking, the less times that guys are standing next to each other, the fewer opportunities there are for somebody who has the virus but maybe didn't trigger a positive test to infect more people. Just statistically speaking, the less interaction there is, the less frequency there is for the chance of transmission to take place around an arena. But all the other stuff, I hate to say it, but George Hill's pretty much on it right here in terms of, if you don't want to give up all this other stuff, if you don't want to give up the time with your family, if you don't want to give up the time with the other team after the game, if you don't want to give up all this stuff, then yeah, maybe you shouldn't play the game. And the guys who are willing to give this stuff up can play the game. It'd be kind of frustrating because you know you're going to have some superstars that opt out. You know you're going to have some names that would opt out. But yeah, I think that's kind of where I've gotten here, though, of if you are an athlete, and you want to play the game that we all sit on our couch at night and watch play out, if you want to play the game, then yeah, you're going to have to follow these protocols, especially with the NBA having reports now that guys who tested positive in the summer have tested positive a second time. We do know that there is the chance that one or more of those tests were false triggers, were false positives, that maybe guys thought they had it the first round and they didn't. They just got hit with a false positive that never got followed up with, which to me says more about the fact that standards failed during the bubble than it does anything else. But the point here is that, yeah, I kind of think we're kind of looking at this the same way that I looked at college football. If guys opt out, it'll suck for the team. It'll hurt the sport. It won't give us the same quality of competition that we would have in a regular year, but that's just the new way of the world, unfortunately, Lonzo. And while George Hill might not like it, while NBA players might not like it, I don't really see much else of a choice if we want the NBA and other sports to be able to play.
All right, I just want to say that I'm not trying to turn anything on you, but you were just talking about how it's okay for the players to speak out as far as, you know, wanting trades. I mean, when it comes down to it, what if all the NBA players say, you know what, we're going to do our thing. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to adhere to your protocols. then what will the NBA do? Will they shut down or will they listen to the players? If the players decide, hey, man, this is too strict, we're not going to do it, what will the NBA do? Will they shut down or will they say, you know what, we're going to listen to our players. Our players say this is how we're going to do it and we're going to do things this way. Because there are probably more people in the NBA more upset with the new strict restrictions. And eventually, they're going to be disgruntled and decide, you know, I mean, what if everyone says, you know what, if we have to do this, we're not playing?
You'll end up in a spot where guys aren't going to get paid because the NBA will shut down. If the NBA shuts down, they're not going to pay anybody.
But see, I don't think the NBA will, because I think the NBA has shown that they're going to listen to their players and what their players want. Now, I know that the bubble was a situation where all the players agreed. If they didn't agree, it wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
But they still would have had the season because they want their money and they're going to be willing to go, okay, you're right. We can lessen this right here. We can lessen this right here. The players have the power in the NBA. If they decide they're not going to adhere to these rules, then the NBA will relent.
I don't know. I think there might be some wiggle room. There might be some wiggle room that the NBA would give back on when it comes to these protocols, but I don't think all that much. And the reason I don't think all that much is the same reason that you are seeing, for instance, some restaurants that if you walk in the front door without a mask, they tell you, nope, put it on or get out. It's not an option, and we're not really worried about what you think about it. And then there are other places that they have the, you know, mask on sign on the door, but you walk in and you realize everybody's up and just walking around and nobody's wearing their mask at all. To me, it comes down to a liability issue, right? Like, it's one thing if George Hill says, I'm not going to adhere to these guidelines, and the rest of the Thunder go, us either, and they say, all right, well, then we'll relax them just a little bit. It's another thing if they were to say, all right, no guidelines, we're just going to play ball, and if it happens, it happens. And then all of a sudden, George Hill gets coronavirus and can't play basketball for the rest of his life, and he holds the NBA liable, right? I think it would have to be a pretty enormous legal moment for the NBA and the NBA Players Association to reach an agreement where most of, some of, or all of these guidelines would ultimately be relaxed. And the other aspect of that is the players who are concerned and the players who are doing it the right way. Because I got to tell you, I think George Hill is likely in the minority of NBA players, right? I think most of the players, at least from what I've seen and the fact that we really haven't heard a lot of other guys speak out, I think most of the players are in a spot where they're going, no, dude, we're going to follow the guidelines. We're going to do this the right way because we want to be able to play, get paid, finish the season, crown a champ, and also not get this virus that threatens our ability to play basketball for the rest of our lives. The thing about a guy like a George Hill is I think he's in the minority of players. I don't think he's in the majority, which is why the Players Association is going to have to sign off on all these guidelines, right? They're going to have to accept them and say, we're good with this. And from what I can tell, they have. So I don't know if there's enough players that would be against these new guidelines, though, that it would matter. I think we tend to, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so George Hill is going to get the front page on Sports Illustrated's website talking about this issue. But he's the exception, not the rule. I'm not going to make up a number. Some much higher percentage of players are absolutely following the guidelines and locking down and quarantining the way that they've been instructed to do, et cetera,
yeah,
because they want to play.
I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And by the way, I just want to point out that I love capitalism, but rich people act a certain way. And rich people think, that doesn't apply to me. The stars are not speaking out because they're thinking that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm a star in this league. So I think it's an assumption believing that, you know, because they're quiet, they're complying. Because I think you've been around star athletes. They feel like that the rules don't apply to them. So why even talk about it? They're just going to do what they do because they've always been treated a certain way. So I don't know necessarily that everyone agrees with that. I think it may be more on the side of, hey, that doesn't apply to me because do you know who I am?
I agree to some level, and that's why we've seen the guys like Dwayne Haskins, right? Gets caught out at the script club twice. Ain't no saying go to the script club except during a pandemic. And he's been busted. Lost not just his captainship. Lost not only the captain's badge on his uniform, he lost his job over it, right? There are other athletes who have been busted. Lou Williams in the bubble. Lou Will hit up Magic City over in the ATL because my dude wanted some lemon pepper wings.
Neither one of those guys would you consider big-time stars, though?
Dwayne Haskins was a first-round draft pick at quarterback, man.
Right. He was a big-time star in college for sure, but in the NFL, he was an afterthought.
He wasn't there yet, but I think that there was still momentum for him if his head was – now, granted, this dude's head was never right. There was thought that with his head right, Dwayne Haskins still might develop into a serviceable quarterback. Maybe not Lamar, but a serviceable quarterback. Lou Will was, I think, a key cog for his squad in the NBA last year until he decided he needed wings more than he needed the bubble. There are other players who are getting caught breaking these rules and paying the price for it, but here's the thing. I don't care how much L.A. loves LeBron. If LeBron hit up the club tonight, Zoe, and there was one person in there with a cell phone, Alvin Kamara. Let's look at it. I can go to my own team. Alvin Kamara, the week before week 17, less than 2 weeks before the Saints got into the playoffs, Alvin Kamara went to the club. And what happened? In the city he plays in, the city that knows that if the Saints are going to be a Super Bowl contender, Alvin Kamara's got to be a part of that piece. What happened? Within minutes of Alvin Kamara hitting the club on Bourbon Street downtown, Alvin Kamara's picture was circulating around the internet, got hit with the coronavirus protocol. Dude ended up having to sit and miss out on week 17. Hey, week 17, by the way, that if the Saints had lost, it would have guaranteed they don't get the one seed. They were still in play for the one seed going in, but without Alvin Kamara. We are seeing...
All right. Kamara is very important to the Saints, but he's not LeBron James. If LeBron James does that, LeBron James is not going to be set down. And we were really, NFL, I can see it happening, but I don't see it happening to Drew Brees. I don't see it happening to Tom Brady. I don't see it happening to a quarterback. So in the same instance, in the NBA, if a big-time name guy does this, they're not going to sit them down because the coach that sits them down won't be coaching there very much longer.
I disagree with this. Well, here's the thing. It wouldn't be the coach that sits them down. It'd be the NBA. It'd be David Stern. No, scratch that, David Stern. It'd be Adam Silver. It'll be Adam Silver that sits him down. In fact, there's actually calls, and this is, I find this kind of an interesting conversation as we're, 3 weeks into the NBA season. I saw an article written out yesterday, an editorial written yesterday. I wish I could remember. I want to say it was SI, but I could be wrong. That was calling for Adam Silver to get tougher, to go less Adam Silver, who is a players commissioner, and more David Stern, who was a commissioner that said, here are the rules, follow them or don't. I think the NBA would sit down LeBron James. If a picture comes out tonight of Bron out at the club, I think it would get LeBron shut down. Alvin Kamara, look, is he LeBron James? No, but there's 11 guys on the field compared to 5. Alvin Kamara, I think, outside of the offensive line that blocks for him, Alvin Kamara is the most important skill position player for the Saints. He is. He's more important to that team right now than Drew Brees is. Alvin Kamara got sacked because he was at the club. That is on a LeBron level to me. All right, let's not use LeBron. Let's say he's on the level of a Bam Adebayo, right? Maybe he's not the face of the league, but he's the most critical piece to his team. He did get sacked, and I think the NBA would do the same. But like I said, I just think that a chunk of the reason these protocols got passed and a chunk of these protocols will be adhered to by the league is because most of the players want to do whatever they can do to make sure this season gets finished, and they get paid, And they're going to follow along with these guidelines because of it. But we're going to find out. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. The other question I'd ask is, who has spoken out besides George Hill? Because I have not seen another player speak out about it. I'm sure there are some that don't love it, but I haven't seen anybody else hate it to the point that they will speak out about it. Quick break. We're back after this. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rob, Lonzo, you. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob, Lonzo with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Want to remind you that you can hear playoff football right here on ESPN Upstate. Coming up on Saturday, we'll be actually out of here today, as a matter of fact. Should bring this to you as well. We will be out of here today at 2:30 this afternoon. Kick it on over to Dan Scott and the boys. A little Furman basketball coming to you live from 2:30 to around 5:30. Then we'll kick it back to Diesel and Mark Ryan for Offsides with Mark Ryan. Furman basketball right here on ESPN Upstate at 2:30 this afternoon. And then coming up this weekend on Saturday, we'll have Furman basketball for you. I believe so. Starting at 6 o'clock, is that right off the top of my head? I forgot to pull my schedule up right in front of me.
I will have to look, but I think it's actually 3:30.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, I think it is. I think you're correct. Actually, I think it's an afternoon game. So 3:30 on Saturday, we will have that game for you. At the conclusion to that game, we will kick you back on over to listen to NFL divisional round playoff football. Then on Sunday, both games are going to be right here on ESPN Upstate, Cleveland, Kansas City, and then New Orleans and Tampa, your Sunday nighter. All of that right here. It kind of stings, though, to think about the fact a year that we didn't know if we were going to get football at all, we are down to 4 games this weekend, 2 games the weekend after that, a week off, the Super Bowl, and we're done.
Au contraire, we are not done because...
Because!
Exactly. We are going to have football, including Furman football, which will air right here on ESPN Upstate. So we're not going to have a lack of football. We're going to be able to go out of the NFL into that football, and it's going to be great football. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're going FCS ball. That's true. That's true. Look at Lonzo. The power of positivity, ladies and gentlemen. And,
you know, not only that, but since we are the flagship station for Furman sports and Furman football, when Furman goes into the playoff, you'll be able to hear it right here on ESPN Upstate.
I love it. I love it. Look at you. Power of positivity reigns over the Rob Brown Show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, FCS spring ball. And, I am excited about it. It's one of those things. It's going to take, if we're being honest with each other, right? I am super pumped. We got Furman ball just around the corner. Starting up, what is it, February 13th, I think, is kickoff of spring FCS ball?
It's in February, early February. And I want to throw this out there that I'm willing to, and I would look forward to, I think you and I should go to some Furman games.
Were you not already planning on that?
Well, usually I don't have time, but I should be able to do this because the majority of the games, I believe, are 1 o'clock kickoffs, which gets me back in time to do my other duties. So, yeah. I think we should go do that so we can talk about it firsthand the following Monday after this awesome spring football that's going
to
happen.
There's no thinking whether or not we're going to the game, so I'm telling you in advance we are. That is what's happening. Yeah, we got FCS spring ball. And it's look, this is going to be weird. Let's be honest with each other as sports fans for a second. It's going to be interesting because it's not FBS ball. It's not we're playing for a national championship that's going to be on ABC on a Monday night. By the way, we got to talk ratings when we come back. Don't let me forget that. But it's still going to be good football. And we got football right here in our own backyard with Furman going on. It's yes, I know the Super Bowl's over. I know the national championship for FBS is done. But we got FCS ball right here in our own backyard. and we're covering it live for you right here on ESPN Upstate. And I know a lot of people, when I talk to them during a regular football season, they don't really, they don't pay a lot of attention to FCS ball. But y'all, we got spring football. We've got football coming in February. It's been too long.
And not only that, at least for us, we're going to be heading out to Furman, which is a beautiful campus, in the spring.
I have seen the campus twice so far. Not really seen the whole campus, though, right? When I got here, like I said, I think I had 11 days between the time that I got here and everything shut down. So the only two times I've gotten to go to campus, I've gone to a couple of Furman basketball games. And when I went to a couple of Furman basketball games, I got to drive on the campus. I got to see the gym. I got to see the football stadium and just that little chunk of campus. But I've heard it's an absolutely stunningly beautiful campus. So I'm excited to get out there for a little football and get a little bit more, take in a little bit more of that campus. And we're going to be covering, again, Furman basketball live right here on ESPN Upstate. But, FCS ball. I mean, look, I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, switch your attitude, man. Get your head right, because FCS has got good ball. And for all the people, though, that tell me that they like college ball more than pro ball because it's got the kids that are playing for the love of the game with the heart and the passion, that is even more true at the FCS level than it is the FBS level. There's a lot of guys playing at the FBS level because they know they're headed to the league and they're playing like it and playing for it. The FCS kids, they're out there because they love to play football. That's what they want to do, and they make a lot of sacrifices to make it happen. If you're not watching FCS ball in the spring, you are missing out, Jack.
Man, I'm getting pumped. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's do this. Let's run to a break. Keep in mind, again, we're only going until 2:30 today because we will be handing it over to Dan Scott for a little Furman basketball action this afternoon. So when we come back here in just a minute, the ratings are out for Monday night's championship game, and y'all, they're not good. They're not good. The ratings for the NFL, however, this past weekend, divisional weekend, great. So we're going to talk about that when we come back in a minute on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. So we have our ratings out for our football over the weekend. The ratings from the 2021 College Football Playoff National Championship game, at first glance, look to have delivered pretty good numbers. According to ESPN, the number of viewers who tuned into the game was 18.7 million people, easily the most watched show on Monday night. And that number does total up all of the network coverage that was involved between the Megacast, the ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU, ESPN Deportes, and SEC Network, providing various different ways to watch the game. Which, by the way, Zoe, have you ever, on those Megacasts that ESPN does, you ever flipped around and checked out all the different channels that they broadcast those big games on?
I have in the past. I didn't for this game, but yes, I have.
I didn't for this one either, but I will tell you, I have been a proponent for years of switching the default coverage angle of the camera from the sideline view that only shows basically the offensive defensive line and one level deep. So you see the linebackers on the defensive side and you see the running back on the offensive side. But once wide receivers get out into deep coverage, once DBs are out there fighting against wide receivers, you don't see them in frame until the QB throws the ball to somebody. I have for years said that that the default football camera view should switch to the sky cam behind the quarterback, the same way you see the field when you're playing Madden, right? I want to see all 22 at the same time. I want to see the whole play develop. I want to be able to look at the reads the quarterback's going through. I want to be able to watch the running back pick up blocks. I want to be able to see all of that from up and behind the quarterback, the same way you see it when you're playing Madden or playing NCAA. And for some of the big games, and I know that they did this the other night for the NCAA championship game, They've actually dedicated a channel to doing that, and I don't understand why that wouldn't be the default, but that's another conversation for another time.
That absolutely is a cool angle. It really is.
It's the best angle. Why would you not watch that angle?
But I wonder, is that just a football, you know, a dedicated sports guy kind of thing? Is your average viewer, would that bother them?
It would take getting used to for the average viewer, right? I mean, it would be a change in the way that we watch football, have watched football for, I don't know, ever. It would take some getting used to. But I also think it'd be easier to learn the game that way, right? Because once the wide receiver gets 7 yards down the field, he's out of cut, he's out of frame. You can't see what's happening anymore. Plus, on top of that, you can see, you know, when the tight end's on your side, you can see the tight end and the tackle, but you don't really get a great look at the center, the guard on the backside. You get a good look at the tackle if he kicks back into pass pro, but you don't get a great look at what's happening across the offensive line, where if that camera was up and behind the quarterback like on Madden, you would get a much better look at what's happening on the field. You would be able to see all 22. You'd get a much better view, and you'd be able to see the field from the quarterback's point of view-ish, which to me is a much better way to watch football. I mean, it takes some getting used to for people who have never done it before. But again, I think that should be the default, to tell you the truth. Anyway, ESPN went with that angle for the championship game. I was flipping around between. I also really like the film room. I like the coaches' room where they have multiple coaches. I think this year they had, Hugh Freeze was in there. There were a couple other guys. I didn't really check that one out as much as I typically do. But
see,
anyway.
That stuff is cool if you're not a fan of one of the teams that are playing. I think it's distracting if you're a big-time fan of one of the teams that are playing. You don't want to hear all that. You just want to focus on the game yourself.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's probably fair. If you're not a Bama fan or an Ohio State fan, that broadcast is probably. Let me phrase that. If you're a football dork, that's the best coverage for you, right? If you're a football guy, you really want to know and get into and hear a coach's perspective on schemes and tactics and coverages and route running, etc., then that's absolutely the way to go. But anyway, back to the ratings. Between all of those different formats, 18.7 million viewers watching that game, which is pretty impressive overall. Take a stab in the dark, Zoe. 18.7 million this year. How many people watched last year's national championship across the megacast when LSU won the title over Clemson?
I'm going to go 25.
Spot on. 25.5 million viewers. You lost 7 million viewers this year. And my immediate gut reaction was the same immediate gut reaction that I had when we had this conversation about the NBA Finals a few months ago, when I looked and I thought to myself, all right, it's the Rona, right? People have got other things on their mind. People are out there trying to figure out how they're going to make rent and mortgage payments. People are out there, gravely concerned about their jobs. People have bigger issues to worry about than an NBA game in a bubble down in Orlando. So I thought maybe that's the same thing here, except for, Zoe, this is the lowest rating that the NCAA has gotten in a finals game since 2004. It's the lowest number of viewers since the last decade. And some change. College football writer Stuart Mandel notes that the CFP National Championship rating was lower. This is interesting too, Lonzo. Lower than either college football playoff semifinal. Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, both did better ratings than the actual national championship game did. The Sugar Bowl between Ohio State and Clemson was the most watched of the three playoff games, over 19.1 million viewers. Alabama, Notre Dame was wedged down in the middle of those two other games that we have talked about. I gotta wonder, Lonzo, why?
Well, there's a lot of things that factor in, but I'm glad you pointed that out about the semifinal, because I was curious about that. And the buildup to the semifinal for both games was so much bigger than the buildup for this national championship game. Remember, we talked about the fact that you almost forgot that the game was coming on, because there was no back talk between the two. The NFL was going so good that most stations were more covering the NFL, and the national championship game was an afterthought. But as far as the semifinals go, you had all that talk with Dabo. Dabo was everywhere on every station, and people were building that up so much. People wanted to see if he was right or he was wrong. And that's why people tuned into it. But I didn't see that any hype at all leading into Ohio State and Alabama.
I didn't either. This feels like a lazy argument to me, Lonzo. But we hear the Bama fatigue, the Ohio State fatigue, the Clemson fatigue. We hear about the fatigue of fans seeing the same three teams in the mix of the playoffs every single year. I do have to wonder if maybe that was a part of what happened with this game, right? Like, a lot of people, I don't want to see Alabama win another national championship. I'll just hit the highlights in the morning.
See, that has to factor into it. But at the same time, I don't recall a national championship game being so underhyped as this one. I mean, every year it's nonstop. Everywhere you turn, you're going to see, well, this game is coming up. This coach is being interviewed. This player is being interviewed. I don't remember seeing any of that.
But here's my question, though, right? It's the national championship game. I don't know that you really even need to hype it all that much. And granted, ESPN was hitting that damn thing every commercial break. They were talking about it. It wasn't really getting a lot of play outside. And of course it's not, right? Like, if you're Fox Sports, you're not going to sit there and pimp the national championship game when you know it's driving people over to ESPN for a night and taking away from whatever you're running up against it. But that would hold more weight to me, Lonzo, if this wasn't the lowest watched game in 16 seasons.
Well, I think the other thing that comes into play is that the majority of the country believed Alabama was going to do what they did. And so they didn't think it would be that interesting of a game. I mean, that's got a factor in there too.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, from what I spoke, from the folks I talked to, most people had, and it was an 8.5-point spread, and most people thought that spread was pretty solid. Most of the folks I talked to, and I think most of the picks we took on the show, had people saying 7 to 9 points in favor of Alabama. You and I both went 3. You took the Bucks by 3. I took the Tide by 3. We had but most of the people who submitted picks to the show were picking Alabama by 15, 16, 17 points, and it wasn't particularly close. I also don't wonder, and I don't – listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how the rating system for television works in terms of when they register eyeballs. Like, if you just click onto the channel, does it count as registered? Do you have to stay on the channel for 15 minutes for it to count? Whatever. But I know a lot of people tuned out at halftime. My Twitter feed went from entirely college football to about half college football around halftime of that game, when it became pretty evident that Alabama was going to be controlling that game for the rest of the time on the clock. But again, that number since 2004 is a shocking number to me, especially again in a year where we didn't know we were going to get football. I figured we'd have had a bump up just from people who were grateful to be able to watch the college football season that none of us will ever, ever, ever forget, no matter how long we live. I figured that would drive some people to watch, but quite the opposite. People tuned out of this game, right? People tuned out of this game. More people watched the semifinals than the championship. And I have to imagine, it's because those games held, if we're being honest, a little more intrigue, right? Can Ohio State, who's been told by Dabo Swinney for a week and a half, they don't deserve to be there, they're number 11, they shouldn't get in, can Ohio State go out there and slap the Clemson Tigers around? On the flip side, can this Notre Dame team, undefeated in ACC play, one loss to the rebooted Clemson Tigers in the ACC title game, and they're going up against Goliath. Can David get Goliath? Can David? But here's the thing. That was the same thing that you and I both would have thought would have driven people to tune in to Ohio State, Alabama. Can the Buckeyes pull off the impossible and slap down the godfather of college football, Nick Saban? It worked for Notre Dame, Alabama, but it didn't work for Ohio State, Alabama, which leads me to believe that that's not really a driving factor of people tuning into a football game or not.
Well, the other thing is, we don't know if COVID, in fact, is part of the reason. And the only way we're ever really going to be able to compare it to will be how this year goes as far as games goes and things like that, and how next year's national championship game is rated. Who knows? Maybe it goes down again. Maybe COVID has cost the sports world sports fans, period. Because a lot of people are tuning out and doing other things. And it's not just about sports. It's also, you know, movies, TV, a lot of stuff like that. People are just finding other things to do. I think we can find a reason in a bunch of different areas about why this happened. But to me, the end-all be-all is I don't think it was hyped enough. And I think people thought it was a foregone conclusion that Alabama was going to do what they did.
844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can read them on the air. What do you think is the reason that the ratings were so bad for the college? By the way, the NFL ratings for the weekend. The NFL ratings for the NFL for the wild card games were actually up this year. The NFL ratings combined, more people tuned in this year. Let me rephrase all that. According to Hollywood Reporter, the opening round of the NFL playoffs drew a significantly smaller audience than it did a year ago. The expanded wildcard round featured six games on January 9th and 10th, two more than in past years. Those six contests averaged about 24.3 million TV viewers. So you got the college football championship, Lonzo, checking in at 18.7 million. NFL wildcard games were averaging 24.3 million viewers per game, including the Sunday night game, the Saints and the Bears, 30.65 million viewers tuned in for the Saints-Bears game. This is the national championship game for college football, and it got blown out of the water by the wild card round of the National Football League. Is that surprising to you?
Having watched the majority of those games, no, not really.
Because they were good games.
Yes, they were really good games. They were compelling games. There were stories behind them, but not just that. The on-field play was excellent. And it, for the most part, it could have went either way with a lot of these games. And even though I'm an Ohio State fan, I enjoyed watching the Cleveland Browns-Pittsburgh game more. Probably because my team lost in the national championship, but it was more compelling. It was more exciting. I don't know what it is. NFL is my number one sport, so I'm always going to be more excited for that. So I'm skewed one way or the other. But think about it. Take one of the games, the least of those games for the NFL, and put it up against the national championship game, and it's going to be more intriguing.
All right, so we'll ask you guys, why did college football's national championship game draw such poor ratings? Now, we got a text in, and this is something to consider. ESPN, I read something that streaming services aren't counting towards ratings or something like that. Any truth to that? Yes, to some degree, but while that is a question mark to apply to the numbers, when you compare those numbers to what the NFL did with the same amount of streaming available, in fact, I'd argue probably even more streaming available for the NFL games, not even close. Not even close. Quick break. Wrapping up the hour next on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. Wrapping up hour number two, taking you until 2:30 today. We'll kick it on over to Dan Scott and the Furman Paladins as we've got a little basketball action for you coming up after our show. Again, 2:30 as they are set to play their oldest rival, the Citadel. This one's going to be over in Charleston at the Citadel Bulldogs. We'll have that game for you live again coming up at 2:30. Tip off at 3 o'clock. As soon as that game and its post game coverage is concluded, then Mark Ryan and Diesel will be back to take you up till 7 p.m. tonight. Then on Saturday, we'll have Furman coverage for you starting at 3:30. Tip off set at 4 o'clock against East Tennessee State. That one's going to be right here on ESPN Upstate as well. Your home for Furman Paladins basketball across the upstate. After that game, we'll kick you over to the nighttime divisional round game on Sunday. Both NFL divisional round games will be live right here on ESPN Upstate, your home for live sports around the upstate. We got 1 hour. No, we got half an hour left. We're back right after this. Zoe and I will have a little wrestling conversation, then Twitter trending topics to wrap up today on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.